Tonight we're fortunate to have with us speaking Shripad Shrutashrava Prabhu, who just returned a short time ago from an extended preaching program in Brazil. And he was also requested by Srila Govinda Maharaj to come quickly to India and join him there. So we're fortunate that he'll be here tonight and speak, and soon he'll leave for India, but we have this opportunity.
He Guru Gyanadina Bando Shananda Data Kurunaika Sindo Vrindavana Sina Hitavatara Prasida Radha Pranaya Prachara Bande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gurudaye Pushpabanto Chitro Shando Tamonido Bande Nanda Brajasri Nam Padarenu Mabhiksnasa Dhyasam Harikato Gitam Kunati Bhuvanatrayam Nikhila Bhuvana Maya Chinabichana Kartri Vibhuda Bahugla Mukti Mridya Mahanta Datri Shri Tilita Vidhi Raga Rajyura Desha Dani Vilasatu Riddhi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Bani. So I'm very fortunate, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm very fortunate to be here this evening under the affectionate invitation of my dear friend Shripad Bhakti Padanjana Ramaj. Otherwise I might not be here this evening. So by the affection of the Vaishnavas, we always have some hope for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we're left on our own, then we have nothing to be so enthusiastic about. When I joined in the Krishna consciousness movement, I heard this example that I never liked. And that example is that one must fly his own plane. Well, I don't want to fly my own plane. And if I am, I don't want to take any passengers. And I don't want to be a passenger for any other conditioned soul who's flying their own plane. Right, spiritually, I want to be under the protection of Guru and Vaishnava. And although as a young man I wasn't so familiar with that particular type of language, later on when I listened to Srila Prabhupada's recordings of him speaking Harikatha, and so many times he referred to that, Guru and Vaishnava, that our whole spiritual hope lies in Guru and Vaishnava, not on our own. That we will never get Krishna consciousness by our own strength. We will never get Krishna consciousness by our own ability. Prahlad Maharaj expresses that. Matirna Krishna. Right? Matirna Krishna means you will never be Krishna conscious. It's like when Mahaprabhu was being glorified, right, as Vishnu or something like that. He would always say, Krishna Matirastu. Right? Please be Krishna conscious. Let your consciousness be with Krishna. And Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishna Paratak Satova. By your own endeavor, you will never be Krishna conscious. You'll never achieve Krishna consciousness by your own program, by your own strength, by your own power. So yes, we have to do something. Now, we're not supposed to sit back and do nothing and say, oh well, it's all by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava. But what we're supposed to do in our activities is to show some appreciation for the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava. That's our divine service life. That's our reciprocation for that mercy. That's the sign that we appreciate the mercy of Guru and Vaishnava, that we try to engage ourselves in some service. And our Guru has a particular item that he gave his whole life to. That is the mission of his Guru Maharaj. I call the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math and his branches worldwide. And so that's his life and soul. That was his promise to his Guru Maharaj. Yes, I will always look after your deities, your devotees, and your mission. So if we want to reciprocate with him for everything he's giving us, and we have no idea of what that everything is yet, but gradually it is being revealed to us. What is the everything that he's giving us? And then as our appreciation for that thing increases, then our reciprocation naturally increases. And we want to do something for him. When we see more and more the beauty, the sweetness, the wonderful nature of this thing that he's giving us, then we want to do something in reciprocation for that. That is our practice of Krishna consciousness. And we have to expose ourselves to the beauty and sweetness of this thing. Then that must draw something from us to reciprocate for that gift. Because it's only a gift. Like every day we sing, if you're fortunate. I'm not so fortunate. I don't sing it every day. But in fortunate times of my life, man, we sing that song. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite para, tomar shakati ache. This is your power. Krishna is yours. And you can give him to everyone. And now Gurudev is trying to give us that. And actually he's giving us more than that. Because we're in the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. And in the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya, what our Guru is giving us is more than Krishna. And for those of you who have never read the last chapter of Sri Guru and His Grace, of course I recommend that you read the whole book. But read the last chapter of Sri Guru and His Grace. Then you'll find something out about what it means to be in the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya. And in the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math, that is the line that we are in. Srupad Janata Maharshi once wrote a very nice article in the Vaishnava Toshini magazine entitled that, The Line of Sri Rupa. And tonight, Srupad Yudhamani Prabhu, Seva Vikram, sitting with us, one of the great preachers in that line. You know, so many countries he's established the conception of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math. Now Red China. A couple of years ago, Jamuna Priya Didi, who's well known to many of you, she wanted to do something for Srila Gurudev. So she purchased for him a new blood testing machine to test his blood sugar level. When she gave it to him, he was a little disappointed. Why did you buy this? I already have two. And the one I use every day, it works very nice. Why did you buy this? And she said, oh, Gurudev, without even asking me. And she said, oh, Gurudev, I wanted to surprise you. And he said, nothing in this world could surprise me. And he thought for a moment. He said, except that people are chanting Hare Krishna in China. He said, that surprises me. There's another wonderful story like that. In 1974, in Mayapur, Gurujan Prabhu, he brought one Chinese man from Hong Kong. You remember that? And then like so many hundreds and hundreds of people were being initiated that day on Gaur Purnima. Then when they called that man to come up, you know, the guy, his name is Robert Chang or something like that. And they called his name, and he started walking up, and he was a Chinese man, and then Prabhupada said, just see! And like, thousand people were staring at this poor guy, you know, he didn't know what was going on. And Prabhupada said, in India, the Chinese have come to teach communism. Prabhupada said, but in China, we are teaching them to chant Hare Krishna. And this old little Bengali man jumped up and he screamed at the top of his lungs, save the whole world, Prabhupada. He said, sun shines everywhere, it was Prabhupada. So Red China, right? They're chanting Hare Krishna. That's very surprising, even to our guru. So because of some person's mood of heart to reciprocate, that's a beautiful thing. That means that that particular person, that if we're a little analytical, then we could find out that that particular person has such great appreciation for the gift of Krishna consciousness, right? That he goes to a place like that. To give that out, to give out Krishna consciousness under so much personal risk and personal hardship. And I spent 6 weeks in Brazil. The first week was very, very rough because we were in a smaller city and a city far away from São Paulo. And in that particular city, Porto Alegre, hardly anyone, one devotee spoke English, and that devotee was busy all the time. And I don't speak Portuguese. So it was a very lonely week. So to go to a country where you don't speak the language and to live there continuously only for the purpose of trying to give this beautiful, unbelievably sweet, wonderful thing to people as a very, very laudable thing, worshipable thing. So somebody has to give it to us. That everything we have in connection with Krishna consciousness, somebody gave to us. Everything. We analyze it. Right? Everything we have in connection with Krishna consciousness, somebody gave to us. You know, even our name, right? Somebody gave us our name. Somebody gave us our japa beads. Somebody gave us the book. Somebody gave us the knowledge. Somebody gave us some service. Tonight I wouldn't be here, but Srila Janata Maharaj gave me an affectionate invitation. Please come this evening. Otherwise I'd be wasting time doing some foolish thing. So we need that. Spirituality is that type of beautiful, wonderful thing that causes us to enter into this flow of reciprocation. And reciprocation isn't coming from one side. Sometimes we're blind in our neophyte condition. We can't see the hand of divinity reciprocating with us. And not only can't we see it, but sometimes we see the opposite, which is a terrible thing. But sometimes we think, oh, Krishna's punishing. But Krishna never punishes anybody. And especially not those people who are trying to serve him. He doesn't punish anybody. He has no instrument for punishing. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm sure a few weeks ago you read that particular section, where it is explained that when Krishna appears, it's also the time of the Yuga avatar, and because all of the forms are within Krishna, then any non-Krishna activity that Krishna may perform is actually not done by Krishna. Like Krishna doesn't remove the burden of the earth. Krishna doesn't kill asuras. Krishna doesn't do any of that stuff. Some Vishnu thing comes out of his body and takes care of that. But Krishna himself doesn't do that. He doesn't have any capacity for that. He doesn't have any interest in that. Krishna is playful. He only plays. He has a flute. You ever seen any picture of Krishna? He's beating some guy with his flute. Right? His flute doesn't open into a dagger or anything. You know? And that flute itself, he's trying to nectarize. Even the flute. Like Gayatri, Muralista, Kirtana, Danam, Radha, Padam, Dimahi. The flute itself is trying to distribute nectar. The flute itself wants to nectarize you. Krishna wants to nectarize you. His flute wants to nectarize you. All of the inhabitants of the spiritual world have that type of generous hearted mood. They want to nectarize us. They want us to get Krishna consciousness. We have a whole spiritual world, right? The three parts, right? Three teen pod vibhuti in the language of Saraswati Thakur. That's a greater portion rooting for us, wishing for our spiritual success, like waiting for us, like when we read that story of Gopa Kumar, like when he makes it back to Krishna's abode. And Krishna, we saw that painting by that artist, right? Krishna embracing him. How did you stay away from me for so long? I love you so much. That's Krishna consciousness. That's what we came for. Maybe we didn't even know it. I didn't know it. When I came to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, I had no idea. I thought it was a cool thing. It looked really nice, and the people were really nice, and the food was really nice. Then we find out more and more. But what do we find out more and more of? Like how hassle it is, how uptight it makes you. What is Krishna consciousness? What is this particular thing that we came for? What are we trying to get? Search for Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. We have to always remember that. And our guru told us, right, if we just meditate on the titles of the book, because all of those titles were given directly by Srila Sridhar Maharaj. Goswami Maharaj, he compiled the materials, he edited them, he produced them, made unbelievably beautiful books, but the title of the book was given by Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Ratak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj himself, personally. He gave the title. And our Gurudev said, if you just meditate on the title, you will know everything about Krishna consciousness. So search for Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. That Krishna is beautiful. He's absolute beauty. There's nothing negative in him. It doesn't exist. He's absolute good. And everything that is good exists in him to an infinite degree. There's no vindictiveness. That's a bad thing. But there's no harshness. There's no meanness. None of those things exist in the absolute good. Only the absolute beautiful sweetness, charm, ecstasy. And not in a selfish way. Because Mahaprabhu did a little program. Right? He broke in to the storehouse of that. And he's distributing it everywhere. To everyone. Without any consideration. That's where we come in. Right? Patra patra bicha nai. So if there's no consideration who's fit and who's not fit, when will we be disqualified from the higher side? Sometimes we foolishly disqualify ourselves. But, oh, I'm too far, man. It's all nonsense. Our Guru Dev is not judging anybody like that. You know, we sing so many songs. We sang a few minutes ago, Sri Guru Charana Padma. Sometimes we need to meditate on these songs. Let's see, is it something real? Is there really a person with those types of qualities? Then how will we be judged and abandoned by such a person? It's impossible. It's impossible. So there are many other religions and religious conceptions and movements, and you know, they talk about judgment day and this and that. And it's not the Krishna conception. There is no judgment day. And if we think, what is the nature of a Vaishnava? He's Shargrahi. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his poem, oh, Shargrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Right? They only see the good. How can it be a judgment day when there's no bad noticed? So if there is a judgment day, then only our good will be seen. It will be a happy day for us. However little it may be, magnified by the broad vision of a Vaishnava. Once when Srila Gurudev was discussing, he asked me, what is the meaning of the word Udar? And Udar means broad. So I didn't reply quick enough. Gurudev wasn't so pleased with my reaction, but he said, broad-minded. You know, what is our conception? Should Vaishnavism make us more and more cripple-minded or more and more narrow-minded? Or is Vaishnavism the most broad-minded conception? So it is our duty, right, to always try to stay in touch with the real flow of Vaishnavism that is coming from our Guru Bhargava. And being carried, right, by the various agents of Gurudev. And always some sweet arrangement is waiting for us to shelter us and protect us on the spiritual path. Otherwise, what are we going to do? We're depending on our own ability. Then we should all leave now and forget about Krishna consciousness, because we'll never be successful. But it's not like that from the other side. So much help is always arranged for us. So much help is always coming to us, even when we don't want it. Even when we're so stupid, we don't even want it. Like when Sripad Goswami Maharaj, who at that time had been a friend of mine for many, many years, when he began to preach the message of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I was so foolish and unfortunate that I didn't want it. And I thought it was unnecessary. So many misconceptions. I was living in the land of misconception. Not that I'm free from the land of misconception now. At least free from that serious misconception. That was a dangerous misconception. So unwillingly, you could say, with some transcendental trickery, you could use that phrase, I was brought to the lotus feet of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. But again, right, by the affection and friendship and kindness of the devotee. not by some analytical power that I possessed myself, or analyzed the whole situation, and I analyzed Guru Tattva, and I analyzed this, and I analyzed that, and I came to the conclusion. I don't have anything that I got like that. Well, I analyze this. Even the basic, the most primary spiritual understanding. Some devotee told me that. Like, I'm not this body. I didn't realize that on my own. I went in a closet with a candle. After a few hours, I realized I wasn't my body. And no idea, right? The most basic spiritual idea had never dawned on me. So none of these things will ever dawn on me. Sometimes Gurudev asks questions because everything dawns on him. They're like wild questions, and for me, you know, for somebody on my level, he'll say, like, when he read some introductory shlokas from Garga Samhita when that was being printed, then he said, is Garga Rishi offering his pranam to Basudev or not? How do I know? I don't have the faintest idea. You know, it would never dawn on me in a million years. I could read those introductory shlokas 5,000 times. I could memorize them, not anymore, but in the past I could have memorized them, so many things. If those types of things would never dawn on me. Once he asked me, what is the most important shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Tomorrow, I'm a truck driver. I have no idea what is the most important shloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, no, you know something. What do you think? So some idea that I heard from him, I presented. He said, that has the mood, but that's not the best. Then he told me which one was the best.
I said, what was the best?
That was the best shloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he has that type of capacity, and he has that type of ability that I don't. So what I know is because he told me, or another Vaishnav told me, not because I figured it out on my own. So if we see that, then how hopeful can we be? And how encouraged should we be that it's not depending on my little minuscule ability, and it's not depending on me whether I get Krishna consciousness. I have to do something. Right? That's the other side of that. If it's just mercy, then I'll just, you know, I'll be laid back until I get some mercy. No, it's not like that. Obviously, I have to do something. I have to show something. I appreciate this thing. Right? The Vaishnavas are giving it to me. Do I recognize that? Do I appreciate it? I have to show something from my side. But it's not my ability that will get me Krishna consciousness. Oh, because I know how to do this. That's just an ego trip. Anything I know how to do just inflates my ego. That takes me in the opposite direction. The thing that's blocking us from really tasting the sweetness of this thing is ego. So everything I know, that blockade gets a little bit bigger. Oh, I know that. I know this. I know about that. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. And it all becomes an ego trip. Once Srila Sridhar Maharaj told that student, right, who settled with a little pride, oh, I'm a university student. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj remarked, ignorance is better than knowledge. Can you accept that? Can you digest that? Ignorance is better than knowledge. Because knowledge is just a function of ego. I know. The very phrase, right? I know. It's all about ego. How much do you know? I know this. I know that. I know something else. You know, so in this external world, right, we do business like that. We make a living like that. By what we know. But spiritually, we'll never make a living like that. And even Lord Brahma said, other people can say they know. Janantaiva Janantu Kimbahukya Name Prabhu. Other people, they can say so many things, how much they know. He said, but not me. I'll never say it again. I'll never say I know Krishna. And many people say that, I know Krishna. The Lord Brahma said, not me, I'm not going to say that, because everything about him is beyond my capacity. Manaso vapuso bacho tava vibhutin gochara. And everything, all his wonderfulness is beyond my capacity. What, how will we know Krishna? That we will figure something out with our intellect or our sensual capacity? You know, what instrument do we have to take him? And sometimes we think we're taking him, because that's how we deal with everything. Now that's why another very important book to read is called Subjective Evolution of Consciousness. And if we meditate on that title for a while, also we'll get some deep understanding. Subjective Evolution of Consciousness. And we won't deal with Krishna as our object. Rather, we will be his object. And we have to see our own position. So we'll be an object for him. But that takes a melted heart. And so we're in that training. And what if we're successful in Krishna consciousness? We'll be an object for Krishna. Utilize me as you like. And that's the highest position in Krishna consciousness. The position was taken by Mahaprabhu. Radha Bhavo Kanti Angi Kordi Bhalo Mate. In a very beautiful way, Mahaprabhu took that position. And what is the epitome of that? Asli shava paratam pinashtumam radarshanam mamahatam korotuva. You can trample me, you can embrace me, you can even neglect me. You can do anything to me, anything you want, but there'll never be anybody else for me. Mat prananathas tusaiva napara. You'll only be the only Lord of my heart and nobody else, and do anything with me. So that's the highest point of Krishna consciousness. Do we know that? We may think we know so many things, but do we know that? Right? Are we willing to be that? You know, sometimes we get a little insult and we don't want to participate anymore. Some minor thing happens and we don't want to participate. And we forget that we lose contact with the Krishna conception. And what is the Krishna conception? Srila Sridhar Maharaj asked one of my godbrothers that. What is Krishna consciousness? So many times you're saying Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? And that boy foolishly remarked, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Maharaj said, that is your conception? Krishna consciousness. But it's a little more than that. Yata tada va vidadatu lampato. What is the nature of Krishna? Not good. Krishna's nature is not good. Can we accept that? I always think of God, right, as a young boy. You know, Catholic boy, I went to Catholic school, and in my Catholic church there was a mural on the ceiling of God. You know, very serene looking, very strict, you know, very sober, a little severe looking. Well, if you could say even uptight, put it in modern terminology. It looked a little uptight. And then you could say, okay, well, he's a, you know, real serious guy. He only does everything good. But Krishna's not like that. Right? Krishna's a lump of sugar. Srila Maharaj said he's an autocrat, a despot, and a liar. I didn't say that. I would never say that. You know, I would be struck down if I said that. But Srila Maharaj, he said that. What's the nature of Krishna? He's an autocrat. Now we do everything, right? Everything to get rid of autocracy. We invade other countries. We do so many things, right? To get rid of autocracy. But Krishna is not that kind of autocrat. He's the absolute autocrat. There's nothing bad in him. So if you're under his autocracy, you can only be nectarized. and you can only be filled with ecstasy. But we don't want that. Now we'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. That when Milton wrote in his Paradise Lost, we have all subscribed to that. If it was like a signature list, everybody who signed up to reign in hell instead of serve in heaven, you know, and it was like a, you could have a Google search. We would be shocked to find all of our names were there because we signed up for that. Better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. But we're foolish. So these beautiful, sweet, non-foolish Vaishnavas are coming to remind us of the beauty of what heaven really is like. The beauty of what it means to be a servant in heaven. That we have to abandon all of our nasty experiences in the plane of exploitation. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Dharpanam Marjanam. We have to cleanse our consciousness at so many bad experiences in the plane of exploitation. How many lifetimes? Anadi Bahir Mukh. Like Krishna Bhuli Sejeev Anadi Bahir Mukh. Since limitless time, we've been gathering bad experiences and bad impressions in this plane of exploitation. So Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Dharpanam Marjanam. That this name will cleanse your consciousness of that so that you can get in touch with the beauty of this thing. You can understand the beauty of serving in heaven. And Krishna is so kind that his autocracy and his autocratic arrangement, that the servant will enjoy a pleasure millions of times more than the master. But we don't believe it. All of these things that we hear, and even we like them, but we don't believe them. So if this was a 12-step meeting, I would have to stand up and say, I don't believe it. Because if I did, obviously I would be much more dedicated than I am. But even that's not a disqualification. Are you not? There's not a time limit on Krishna consciousness. And just like recently, Shripad Goswami Maharaj wrote on his website about the dangers of Sahajism. He once asked Srila Sridhar Maharaj a question in the very early days when he was going to the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mahat. He asked, Saraswati Thakur forbade his disciples to read the Rasa Shastras? And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, yes. And Goswami Maharaj said, all of them? He said, yes. And Goswami Maharaj said, why were they written? And Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, don't be an atheist. And so there's no time limit on Krishna consciousness. If you don't get it by this date, you know, then you lost your connection. If you don't get it within one lifetime, you lost your chance. It's not like that. You know, we will get a chance again and again and again and again and again until we get it. And our Gurudev has mercifully explained that once we get it, it won't matter how long it took. But even George Harrison had the proper conception. He said, I really want to see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my Lord. That is the proper conception. You know, we want to see God. Will it be such an instantaneous thing? Is it such a cheap thing to see God? Is it such an easy thing? I can't even see the mayor of Santa Cruz. Right? Santa Cruz is an insignificant little place. I want to speak of the governor of California or anything like that, the governor. I can't see him. And I want to, so quickly, I want to demand to see God. You know, it's foolishness. So I really want to see you, Lord. But it takes so long. But that long is not a terrible long. It's not a painful long at our stage. Right? We know on the higher level, like the gopis, they're criticizing Lord Brahma. He created us, first of all, only two eyes to drink the beauty of Krishna. Only two eyes. We're so cheated. And not only that, but those two eyes, they sometimes blink. The people who are really in touch with the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, that's how they feel. That only two eyes to drink such unbelievable beauty that is possessed by Krishna, and those eyes blink. So they feel some pain, but that pain is increasing their ecstasy internally. Bhaje Bishajala Hoy Bhitare Anandamoy. And Mahaprabhu was tasting that. Externally, in the pain of separation, inside, tasting more and sweeter ecstasy. And that's the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. So the path to that is not a bitter path. It's not a nasty path. It's not a horrible path. Sometimes we make it like that with our own ignorance. We inflict our own ignorance. But the path itself is not like that. And it's our duty as practitioners to keep in touch with the path, the real path, the beauty of that path, the sweetness of the path, the welcoming nature of that path. We have a duty to keep ourselves in touch with that. That's what our practicing life is for. Not that we're gaining strength and, what about you? How much did you do? Did you do that? And how many times did you chant? How many times? It's not about that. Like one person wrote a book, I think, moving your lips and your teeth, and you know, when you chant the name of Krishna. And well, that is not the conception of Krishna consciousness. Now, Krishna is not captured by which way you move your lips and your teeth and your pronunciation. Bengali people don't even say Krishna. But that's another issue. But, you know, we know many Bengali people who are in love with Krishna, right, who have pure love for Krishna. So when they say his name, it doesn't matter how they say it. Like Mahaprabhu, right, when he would be in ecstasy, he couldn't say the name Krishna. He would make some sounds. And he's lost in ecstasy. Only some sounds would come from his mouth. He couldn't even say the word Krishna. And that verse that Gurudev said was the best verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Mahaprabhu tried to say that, he couldn't even say it. He could only say the first two words. Couldn't get beyond that. Ayidina, Ayidina. That's all he could say. So we have to keep ourselves in touch with the sweetness and beauty of this thing. That is our practicing life. That is why this program is here. That is why this ashram is here. And it serves a double purpose. Because then there's a big, giant place to reciprocate. And when you feel some of the beauty and sweetness of Krishna consciousness, then there's so much opportunity here to reciprocate that, to show some appreciation. That's what our practicing life is about. It's not about anything else. It's not about judging people's personal life or when they did this or when they did that. Those things are out of Vaishnavism. They have no place in Vaishnavism. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it's an offense against the holy name to see four faults in a Vaishnava. That is jati dosh. Jati dosh means that which we're born with. Some people may ask, why is Shiva Shada like that? He was born like that. Alright, so you can't see that. And Purva Dosh means what was done previously. What does previously mean? Does it mean 5 seconds ago? Does it mean 5 years ago? Does it mean five lifetimes ago? So Purva Dosh. What a Vaishnava did before, you can't count that. And Kadachit Kadosh is a nice one. Means all of a sudden. Not usually you don't do that, but all of a sudden. You happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you did something wrong. You can't see that either. And the very important one, the fourth one, is Nashta Praya Avashishta Dosh. And in Srimad Bhagavatam it says, if I can remember, Shrindatang Sakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu means almost everything dirty in our heart is taken away right, by our connection with the pure devotee of Krishna. Almost everything. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Prayeshu means almost. So Nashta Praya Vishishta Dosh means that little bit that's left over. You can't see that. You can't put any attention on that. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching. Don't see that little bit that's left over. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj liked this shloka very much. Sapada Mulam Bhajatat Priyasya Sakyanya Bhavasya Hari Priyasya Vikarma Yat Utpatitam Katanchit Do Noti Savam Vidisam Nibhishta. That Krishna is in the heart of the devotee, and it's Krishna's responsibility to cleanse that devotee's heart. It's not our responsibility. So Swapada Mulam Bhajatat Priyasya, somebody who has connection, trying to serve the lotus feet of Krishna, that Krishna will take the responsibility to cleanse that devotee's heart. That should be our vision. And all those other things, we can't put our attention there. It's not allowed. It's not a practice of Vaishnavism. Again, it's not the same thing, a process of, oh, you made that mistake. So try to correct it. Who doesn't make that mistake? We put our attention in the wrong places. We put our attention on the negative side. So who doesn't do that? Please raise your hand. So this is our training of Paramahamsa Dharma, Stapi Loasram Bahu Jagatamajari. Right? Our guru has established this ashram, so many ashrams around the world, for Paramahamsa Dharma Jnana Shikar Pachare. Right? To train us to be Paramahamsas, not to walk around with some attitude, and every time you see me, I'll be wearing a garland, and then after tomorrow, a turban or something. Now, put Paramahamsa as part of my name. No, but to only see the good. That's Paramahamsa Dharma. To only find good everywhere you look. So we want happiness. We're searching for happiness, every one of us. What kind of happy life will we have when everywhere we cast our glance, we find good? What kind of life will that be? That's the life our guru is trying to give us. Find good. Not in an erroneous way, not in an illusory way, but in good really exists everywhere. Because everything is connected with Krishna. Every wave is favorable. We can find good everywhere. So what kind of wonderful life will we have when we become trained like that? That's our training, right? And our Gurudev said, my religion is to find fault with myself. So we all have some fault-finding tendencies. At least some of us do. Not all of us. Then use that to find fault with yourself. And then on the outside, when you look, see good. We want happiness. What kind of happy life is that? Everywhere we look, we find something good. That's what our guru is trying to give us. That's Krishna consciousness. Right? And we find bad when our self-interest is blocked. Right? We're in the plane of exploitation. So sometimes we're successful. Most of the time we fail. Right? For our own self-interest. Then we can't see good. Right? Because somebody, you know, better than me, smarter than me, richer than me, stronger than me, younger than me, blah, 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 blah. Right? Block me. And they got the thing. Right? Then I'm frustrated. Then I can't see good. So all of these things are happening simultaneously, right, through our training, trying to withdraw. Srila Sridhar said, don't push into the environment. Try to withdraw from the environment. Don't push into the environment for your own purposes. But try to see every wave as favorable. And search for Sri Krishna, the reality of the beautiful. These things should occupy our consciousness. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming this evening, listening so attentively. And I should have said more about my journey to Brazil, but somehow or other I didn't get there. I'd just like to say briefly, though, it was a very, very wonderful visit. I was invited there by Shripad Trivikram Maharaj, who I know for many years, but I had never actually met Rohini Shakti Didi before this trip to Brazil, and it was a very, very wonderful experience for me to meet her. She's a very wonderful person, and she's done so much for the service of Srila Gurudev in that country. You know, so many beautiful people are attracted to Krishna consciousness in Brazil. So many, you know, the highest rung of society is exposed to Krishna consciousness through the work of Rohini Shakti Didi. She's a very famous personality in Brazil. I gave one lecture at a yoga school there, the most prestigious yoga school in São Paulo. And then that lady who ran that yoga school, she asked me if I would come and be interviewed on her radio show. And in her radio show, in her part of the talk, she explained that Rohini Shakti is the best yoga teacher in all of Brazil. And this lady was a very influential person. So the mission is expanding there. We went to this town, Porto Alegre. Some devotees sold their house and they purchased a new place, a bigger place with a big piece of land to establish the center of the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mata. And another girl named Chaitanya Moi Didi, she invited us to Brasilia, and we had nice programs there. The first time our mission had like organized programs in Brasilia. And then we went to another town called Uberlandia and had very nice programs there. People were initiated, people were happy. Went to a city called Sorocaba. Then we spent a few weeks at the Krishna Shakti Ashram, which was quite beautiful. So it was a very wonderful experience to go there. And tomorrow I'm leaving for India. It'll be a very wonderful experience to go there as well. Actually more wonderful, because I'm getting a chance to be with the source of nectar. And all of the nectar that we have coming from His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sundara Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. And it's my opportunity to go there, not disturb him too much, and hopefully do some service for his lotus feet. So, should we wrap it up? Anybody have any questions at this time? Oh my most merciful master, O master of Mathura, when will you be present before my eyes again? Because of not seeing you, my heart is breaking. And that was quoted by Madhavendra Puri when he was leaving this world. He was reciting that as he was leaving the world. And Kaviraj Goswami says, only three people understood the meaning of that verse. Those three people were Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Mahaprabhu. And Srila Gurudev said, there's four people who understood the meaning of that verse. And of course, the fourth one is Srila Bhakti Rakha Shiradev Goswami Maharaj.
I've been fortunate enough to be around the devotees for a long time, and I heard so many beautiful discourses like the one you're giving to tonight here. And I heard all the anarchists that we have, you know, the negative that we have with sitting getting here, because ultimately we are just who deserves the sake of bring out all these miseries through mercy, Guru, Vaishnava, and that in spite of all these practices I and continue to search for that benefit is beautiful. Myself still struggle with the animosity that I feel for other people. How can I cut them from the root of that negativity toward other people? And how long should I be how recently Maharaj is doing this single life person? For how long?
Well, the Srimad Bhagavatam answers that question, that tattinga kambam sushamitramano bhujyana evatma kritanga pakam. And it's a very important part of Vaishnavism. And I promise I won't launch into a whole other lecture. I know it's very late. But you know, we have to first of all see anything negative is coming to me by my own actions. And so if we can see that, but not just that, that whatever it is, it's been reduced by the grace of the Lord. Right? I should be killed. Instead, I'm feeling some negativity. But really, I deserve to be killed. So that instead, my Lord is so kind, I just got a little negativity to remind me, right, that I'm dealing in the plane of action and reaction. That for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So why are these reactions coming to me? From my actions. I'm not an innocent person. I'm talking about myself personally. I'm not an innocent person. And so whenever reactions come to me, I have to deal with them. And even though I've joined the Krishna consciousness movement, how much of my heart is captured? Right? So very small amount, but it's a wonderful thing and I really appreciate it. But still, on the external plane, I'm dealing with action and reaction. For every action is equal and opposite reaction, but not without some grace. And so tattena kampam susamitramano bhujyane vatma kritangvipakam, we see that yes, it's my own fault, but still the mercy of my Lord is connected with that. And if we can really see that and always see that, then we get Krishna consciousness. That's the prayer. Vidbhag Bapur Bhira Vidanam Namaste. If we go on in a submissive way in Krishna consciousness with that mood, then Jivetiyo Mukti Pade Sadayabhag. Sadayabhag means we inherit Krishna consciousness. It comes to us. Now we get a notice, you've inherited Krishna. And you get him. That if we can go on with that mood. So that thing, which may originally start out to be a negative thing, becomes a very positive thing when we use it in the proper way. So everything is like that. But we have to accept our own culpability. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. So accepting our own culpability is an important part of theism. Do you want to chant?